Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Well, the revolution in Egypt continues. We'll talk about it later. We have Egypt's leading feminist, a woman considered the number one feminist for years, for generations, really, in Egypt, Nawal el-Sadari, in case you know that name. We'll talk to her later. Mayor Bloomberg, who wants to slash the city budget, is up in Albany today protesting Governor Cuomo's plan for slashing the state budget. Good luck. People are intensely divided over whether the Black Eyed Peas extravaganza was the junkiest Super Bowl halftime show ever or the most fun. I'm leaning most fun since Michael Jackson. But we begin today with a head-scratching business and media story of the morning, because I know that many of you woke up today and wiped the sleep from your eyes hearing that the Huffington Post is being acquired by AOL and that Arianna Huffington herself will be in charge of all content on all AOL pages. And through the haze, as you sipped your coffee, you wondered, does this mean boring old middle-of-the-road AOL is going to become a liberal fire-breathing dragon? Does it mean Arianna is selling out to run a media empire? What the heck is going on here, and what does it mean for political discourse? So let's get some takes, beginning with a minute of Arianna Huffington herself talking about the merger.
Well, the most amazing thing when Tim and I first met at his office in November was the surprising merger of our visions. He talked about where he wanted to take AOL in terms of the local expansion through Patch, in terms of the global expansion, in terms of video. And I had just made my New Year's resolution already for the end of the year.
Which was to sell your company for a giant amount of money?
Which was for us to accelerate everything we were doing, to go into local in time for the presidential elections, that we are all over the country. To go to Brazil, where I had just come from and where we wanted to launch Huffington Post Brazil, to go global, to do video. We had just hired our head of video. So the way that our visions came together.
Let's get some more takes. Now that we've heard Arianna talking about how she and the head of AOL were finishing each other's sentences. That was Arianna Huffington on All Things Digital, by the way. Betsy Morgan was CEO of the Huffington Post and recently raised media eyebrows by signing on as president of The Blaze, Glenn Beck's website. Anna Marie Cox, liberal blogger herself, you know her for being on Rachel Maddow or Wonkette or elsewhere. She writes her column for GQ now. And Jeff Jarvis, new media watcher, advocate, and practitioner at the blog BuzzMachine.com and elsewhere. Digital journalism professor at the CUNY Graduate School of Journalism, author of books including What Would Google Do? Hi, Betsy. Hi, Anna. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, Brian.
Hello, everyone.
Betsy Morgan, just to put yourself in context for our listeners, what did you do with Huffington Post, and how did you manage to go from that to Glenn Beck?
Well, you know, first of all, big kudos to Kenny and Arianna for today's news. I mean, this is clearly a huge deal for both companies. And I was CEO of HuffPost from 2005 to 2007, and, you know, part of the big growth spur that HuffPost went on. And they continued to grow after I left. And, you know, this is exceptional news for them. I'm a big believer in brands. Arianna is a big brand. She became an even bigger brand. And Glenn's obviously a big brand, too. But today, you know, the news is Huffington Post and AOL, and there couldn't be a better deal for both companies.
Are you surprised to hear this, Betsy?
No, not at all. I mean, it's really an acceleration of everything that Tim has said he's wanted to do. And I think what's exceptional that's going to come out of this from an editorial standpoint is an aligned company that appreciates that there's really three types of content out there: blog and opinion content, curated or aggregated content, and original reporting. HuffPost does all three well. AOL is starting to do all three well, and this deal is just going to accelerate that. And it's what the audiences are looking for online.
Listeners, we have a comments page on our website, our politics website. It's afreecountry.org. We're asking the question, what does AOL and Huffington Post, what does the AOL Huffington Post deal mean for political journalism? go post a comment or ask a question, which we'll ask our guests at itsafreecountry.org. Jeff Jarvis, from a pure business standpoint, explain to our listeners who's acquiring who and why do both sides see this as a good deal?
AOL is acquiring Huffington Post, and with that they're getting a lot of traffic and big brand, but they're also getting Ariana's vision, I think. Ariana, as somebody said on Twitter, is also kind of retaking control of her company from the investors. And, you know, there was a PowerPoint that's already infamous that was leaked onto Business Insider, the blog, last week, showing the AOL content factory strategy that really did feel like a lot of gerbils on wheels. And that's really aimed at the view of search engine optimization. Make a lot of content, put it up right, and people will come to you through search. That, I think, is a dying strategy as Google gets smarter about finding higher quality content and more personalized content and more originality. And so what Ariana has is the power of people. And she understands the value of the link economy. She understands the value of giving people a platform and an opportunity to talk. And out of that comes great value. And that's what she brings to AOL. And so I think she'll bring more personality and more peers, links, and more humanity to what was becoming a bit of a cold factory at AOL.
And what do they bring to her?
What they bring to her is, first and foremost, sales. They're good at ad sales. That's where Tim Armstrong was the head of ad sales at Google. He brings that to AOL. And they bring capital. They bring the ability for Ariana to expand. For example, she's thirsted after local for quite some time, never really got there. Well, AOL is investing in 1,000 town sites at Patch. And I think she could probably bring some value to that and can start to recognize her imperialistic vision.
AOL's hyperlocal website project called Patch. And listeners, we can take your calls on the air with your comments and questions about AOL and the Huffington Post merging, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. For Betsy Morgan, former CEO of the Huffington Post, Jeff Jarvis, new media watcher and practitioner, and Anna Marie Cox, liberal blogger herself with GQ. And Anna, AOL and Ariana Huffington, is this like Norman Rockwell merging with Andy Warhol?
If Norman Rockwell had started doing his own silkscreen prints and not been very successful at it, perhaps. I think that this is obviously it's great news for Ariana personally. It's probably pretty good news for AOL. I'm not sure how good news it is for people like me that try to make a living writing for the web. Huffington Post sort of notoriously doesn't really pay its writers. It takes advantage of what Jeff was talking about, the desire for people to have a platform. And AOL has ventured into that too. I think Patch, it's like you said, it's hyper local attempt, and also Spinner, its music attempt, are both things that rely on the enthusiasm of people who are willing to write for free. I think, as far as I'm more familiar with Spinner than I am with Patch, and I know that they had some real problems in trying to do an all, you know, free music guide to South by Southwest last year. But obviously, Huffington Post has had a lot of success in getting big names and also in getting scoops from people who are writing just because they really desire to get their voice out in the world. And that is a future. I think that, I know I've talked with Jeff about this before. I mean, that is probably the lasting, most significant contribution, you know, this new publishing platform has to the world, is the extremely low barrier to entry and the ability for anyone to say something. And Ariana has been good at getting people to do that and also choosing the best of what's there.
So, Betsy, is the future of journalism unpaid and completely editorial opinion as opposed to reporting?
You know, I think the future of journalism is a blend, and it's companies that have that blend. I mean, Ariana has certainly paid up for journalistic talent over the last few years. Yes, Anna's absolutely right. There are probably 6,000 bloggers on HuffPost by now. Those people are not paid. HuffPost does not pay its bloggers. But there's also a number and a growing number of paid journalists on HuffPost and on AOL, obviously, with Seed.com, they're paying people on a freelance basis, on a per-piece basis. I think the new world order is a blend of a lot of different things, and the challenge is going to be juggling all those balls in the air. what makes that juggle successful will be a very amazing technology platform. And one thing that I was surprised I didn't see a lot of in the press today was talk about HuffPost technology platform, which is very unique, very strong, and is going to help Tim and AOL a great deal.
Jeff, you're a technology platform kind of guy. Want to expand on that?
Yeah, Jonah Peretti was one of the original founders of HuffPo, and he really, from the beginning, he took, you know, existing blog platforms, but really understood how to make them work so that any celebrity could now publish to the whole world. And I think that's important. HuffPo then expanded beyond politics to other areas and brought in video and brought in other things, but along the line, it remained a very simple platform that Ariana could get famous people to blog on, and that really brought value. You know, this debate about free content or free writing or not, the truth is we've moved from a world of scarce content controlled by media companies to a world of ever-abundant content. And so there's two creations of value there. One is the creation of content still, and Ariana sees the value in that. She hires reporters and says so because they get more traffic. But there's also the value in the creation of the audience for that content. Content online that has no links has no value because nobody sees it. And so having a place that's going to bring a lot of people together to see stuff is coincident in the strategies of both AOL and Ariana.
Anna, do you want to push back on that since you raised this question of unpaid journalism?
Well, they do have, I should say, they do have actually a lot of really good political reporters. Sam Stein at Huffington Post has broken a lot of stories. And, of course, Nico Pitney sort of became famous in gathering content from Iran last year. And I don't want to discredit their work, and it's very important work. I guess I am being a little flippant in saying that Ariana just in describing it all as free content. But I do think that Betsy is right in that it's – And I guess Jeff is saying this too. That free content or that explosion of content is a part of what's going to happen in the future. I mean, they can't, neither AOL or Huffington Post can exist without that acreage of people willing to just contribute their opinions. And the value does come from curating that, and it also comes from paying people who know what they're doing to provide sort of the top layer of content. I still am somewhat pessimistic about the chances of me, for instance, succeeding in the world that has that combination.
There's always a place for your voice, Anna Marie.
Well, thank you, Jeff. And there's not, but I want to say that's not necessarily a bad thing. I think that, you know, there is a journalistic bubble, perhaps, and the one that's historic. And I don't think it's necessarily bad to have to compete with people who are doing what they do out of a love for getting their voice out. And also, I want to make a distinction, Brian. I think that you said you described that free content as simply opinion. It's not always opinion. I mean, I think that, you know, people who write because out of enthusiasm can also practice journalism. Just because you get paid to do something doesn't make it journalism. Just because you do something free doesn't make it not journalism.
No, of course not. Just that opinion is what dominates on Huffington Post.
Right.
Let's take a phone call. People are calling in on the merger of the Huffington Post and AOL, with Ariana in charge of content on all AOL sites now, or once this goes through. Harvey in Hell's Kitchen, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Good morning, everybody. I said to the person who picked up the phone earlier that my real concern, I saw it early this morning on the front of the Times, is that it really may contribute to a dumbing down of information, because unless I'm misinformed, I assume AOL is business to make money, and if they're, you know, the quote-unquote parent company of this product or service, whatever we want to call it, I don't imagine that they're going to not want to make sure that it appeals to advertisers who want to put banners on pages and other things, and I'd love to hear your guests' comments.
Jeff Jarvis?
You know, the Internet is life, and the Internet is filled with great stuff, and it's filled with bad stuff and junk, just like life is. It means we need new ways to get to the good stuff. Clay Shirky from New York University is famous for saying that the problem is not too much content or dumbing down of it or any of that. The problem is filter failure. It's finding the good stuff. And indeed, that's part of the value of what Huffington Post brings. Now, places like the New York Times sometimes complain about the links that Huffington Post gives them because they're a little too long in their view. But finding the good stuff online, and there is plenty of it, is a new business model out there.
What does this say Betsy Morgan, former CEO of Huffington Post, about Arianna Huffington. She first became a public figure as a conservative and wife of a conservative U.S. Senate candidate in California at the time, then became her liberal firebrand self, and now this. Does this merger mean that Arianna is more like you than we might imagine, you know, a businesswoman more interested in brands than a political activist?
Well, she's absolutely a businesswoman, and she always has been. You go back in her history, and you'll see that throughout her entire life. And this has been very much of a renaissance period for Arianna. She's been able to bring together all different aspects of her life to what is the Huffington Post today. I do think that HuffPost, with its reach, even without AOL, you know, yesterday before this merger was announced, is a mainstream reach. It is not a niche. Reach. It is not only a political reach. It's very much a mainstream reach, and they have expanded so successfully into so many different verticals, and Jeff mentioned a few of them. It's very, very clear that this is a mainstream news brand, and this is a brand, particularly now with the combination of AOL, that will go head-to-head against other mainstream news brands, and they have a much more successful chance of winning in that space with a bigger parent like AOL and a parent with deeper pockets.
And listeners, again, we have a webpage on our politics website. It's freecountry.org for your comments on this. We also put up a poll now, an informal, unofficial, thoroughly unscientific poll that asks, do you think the AOL purchase of the Huffington Post is good for journalism? Go register your response and join the conversation there if you want at itsafreecountry.org. Anna, as a member of the liberal blogosphere yourself, maybe you want to answer this question posted on our site from Dorian, who asks, will Arianna have to tone down her progressive outspokenness?
I mean that is, as long as Huffington Post has a separate identity than AOL at all. I think that the Huffington Post, part of its brand and part of its strength is knowing what you get when you go there. And I think that if the entirety of AOL became something that sort of spoke in the ideological voice of Huffington Post, that might be a problem. But I think that consumers are pretty savvy about, or at least they want to know what they're getting. But I'm not sure if people would necessarily assume that the politics of Huffington Post are going to bleed into AOL. In general, I mean, I know a lot of progressive bloggers who love The Simpsons and who hate Fox News. So I think people are able to hold those two ideas in their head at once. That's not to say that I don't think that things are going to continue to become more and more opinionated in the sort of reporting sphere or news sphere that I think we've discovered, rediscovered in a way, because the history of journalism has a lot of opinionated content to it. We've rediscovered that people really desire to know the point of view of the people that are writing.
Keith in Washington Heights, you're on WNYC. Hello. Keith. No, Keith. Let's try Danny in Princeton. You're on WNYC. Danny.
Yes, hi.
Go ahead, Danny. You're on the air. Danny, turn off your radio so you don't get an echo. Thank you.
There you go.
Go ahead.
Yes. I'm just worried about the quality of journalism that's going to be on AOL from now on, because Huffington Post usually softballs questions about science and healthcare. So I'm worried that misinformation from the Huffington Post is going to have a better venue to spread now.
Did you say softballs questions about science and healthcare?
Well, yeah, most definitely, especially about... Meaning
what?
Well, the way they talk about vaccines, the way they talk about other healthcare, the way they talk about alternative healthcare, they give it a very soft venue for discussion.
And I'm still not sure what you mean by soft, but what about AOL now? Do you find good science content and health content on AOL now? Is it something you use for that?
No, I do not, but they don't really specialize in that. And Huffington Post has a lot of people commenting about healthcare and about science, usually. And they don't comment with, very accurately.
Danny, thank you. Jeff Jarvis, anything on this? And what do people go to AOL news content sites for now?
Well, let's go back to this bigger question of worldview that Anna Marie and you both addressed.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that concerned me about this was when I heard Arianna talk with Kara Swisher in the longer video that you played earlier, talking a bit about the center or going center, and I think I would be very disturbed if she tried to find, in the words of NYU's Jay Rosen, the view from nowhere that so much media have. Ariana must be, and I don't think it will. I haven't discussed this with my friend Betsy and her rather ideological hairpin turn of going from Huffington Post to Glenn Beck, of all people, but that's another topic for another day. Ariana, I don't think, can make any kind of shift because she must be authentic. She must be her. We know who she is at this point. So the Huffington Post, I think, has to stay the Huffington Post. And if it becomes less authentic in the voice that we've known and heard, then it will lose credibility, lose voice, lose audience, lose value. As far as AOL itself, well, that's become a huge organization, and as influential as Ariana is, I don't think she can bring her worldview to everyone there, but I think she can bring more humanity and voice. A lot of what they do is rather cold and mechanistic, and I think that she understands the value of human voices of various views and various opinions, which Huffington Post also certainly has, and I think that that would only benefit AOL.
So, Betsy Morgan, what does it mean, as far as you can understand it, without being in the middle of it, that Ariana will be in charge of all content for AOL? I imagine AOL is a sprawling network of sites that, you know, does everything from food to, from politics to food to whatever. Is she going to be in charge of all of that? Is she going to review the Black Eyed Peas from the Super Bowl halftime show, or what does it mean?
Well, Brian, obviously, you know, she won't be able to look at every single story. She has always had a very, very active role as editor-in-chief, and she's very, very dialed into all the verticals on HuffPost now. I think what we want to watch is who she will appoint as her direct reports and her key lieutenants and managing editors to oversee the different different vertical areas. HuffPost has always been good at making news exciting, making news that some people might find kind of boring pretty exciting, and they do it with a snazzy headline and a provocative picture, and that goes back to it, the company's origins in 2005. And I think for the news user and the news audience, it's a lively place to go. One thing that we haven't talked about, and it's something that Jeff and Anna know very, very well, is the enormously robust community on HuffPost. And I don't sense the same community exists on AOL today as it currently stands. HuffPost has an enormous audience that wants to talk about stories, wants to debate with Ariana, wants to debate with other bloggers, you know, wants to say things like this healthcare content is too soft or too hard or different. And they will definitely bring that community voice to AOL, and I think that'll be a good thing for AOL.
Would you not characterize that as an overwhelmingly politically liberal community at the moment?
You know, right now that community is pretty big. And right now there's a lot of content on HuffPost that has absolutely nothing to do with politics, left, right, or center. And I think the community is talking about all sorts of things. They're certainly talking about politics, but they're talking about food and divorce and a million other topics as well.
By the way, now that you've gone to Glenn Beck's The Blaze, do you find, from a business standpoint, that you need to attract conservative readers in different ways than you did liberal ones at HuffPo?
Well, my time at The Blaze is just in the beginning, so I have not been there very long, and I'm beginning to understand an entirely different audience, a very different audience than the HuffPost audience when I started in 2007. And I think the audience is a little bit different. I do think that all audiences, whatever your political worldview is, all audiences want access to great content, to great conversation, and great community, and that is a universal principle. But, you know, audiences look for areas to convene where they feel most comfortable. And I think whether it's left, right, or center, that's absolutely true and will continue to be true.
Well, we're just about out of time, but Anna Marie Cox, what's next? Daily Coast Disney?
I'm sure that there are people that write for Coast that would appreciate the platform. Again, I think this is a lot about being able to get your voice out there. I'm not sure how picky some people are who provides the platform for that, as long as it's a big one and as long as they aren't censored. And I think that is something that's really good about what's going forward about AOL and Ariana, is that I think that there is going to be a lot of freedom for people to tussle in the free, you know, in the marketplace of ideas. And that's something that I think all of us here on this call value.
And who knows, maybe next it'll be Facebook and It's a Free Country.
You and Twitter, Brian. You'll be part of the empire.
There you go. And if you want to comment on this on our Twitter feed or our Facebook page or on our politics website, itsafreecountry.org, you can go there. We do have our informal, unofficial, thoroughly unscientific opinion poll up on It's a Free Country, too, asking, do you think the AOL purchase of the Huffington Post is good for journalism? We thank Jeff Jarvis, Anne-Marie Cox, Betsy Morgan. We really appreciate all of your time. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. More to come.